Welcome to Richmond Seeds Cup of Joe. On this episode, Ben shares wheat data on nutrient uptake and timing from the Real Agriculture Wheat School. Crop insurance prices are set, which means it's time to make decisions. The deadline is fast approaching. Stay tuned for Cup of Joe next week. Mitchell Oswald from America's Alfalfa joins us for an alfalfa update on what's coming down the pipeline.
Hi, this is Joe Mershman. Welcome to Mershman Seeds Cup of Joe. Today we have our regulars. We have Ben, Lynn, and Turk, and Ben's got some new information.
Yeah, so from the Wheat School, from Real Agricultural Media, there was a YouTube video that I was watching earlier this week talking about how there's been a bunch of work done on timing of uptake of nutrients on corn and soybeans, but they don't have phenomenal numbers from like a government perspective when it comes to winter wheat. So this is a three-year study, and that talks about the timing of uptake of and total pounds of phosphorus, nitrogen, potassium, and sulfur. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting just to go over some of these total uptakes and kind of talk about the timing just a little bit. And I think it's very valuable to know the timing, especially on the nitrogen and the sulfur side of things, because those are semi-leachable and they don't move around. They move around in the soil a little bit more, so you know you need to know when you need to front load versus, you know, a product like phosphorus or potassium. As long as you're not in super light soils, those products are going to be there, so you can front end load that style of nutrient to get you plenty ahead. So the first one on the list is this phosphorus uptake. Basically, where we're at with phosphorus when it comes to the wheat uptake, that 64% of the phosphorus is uptaken at anthesis, which is basically flowering. So a lot of the phosphorus is actually being pulled in after, you know, the heads are out, which makes a lot of sense because phosphorus is a key for protein building, and a lot of phosphorus gets removed in grain, as we know with corn and soybeans, and wheat is the same way. So having your phosphorus pre-loaded is going to be very important, because even if you wanted, if this chart showed like nitrogen, you'd be wanting to focus your nitrogen timing, you know, at that heading stage. But because phosphorus has to have moisture to dissolve, whether you're using MAP, DAP, or any of the liquid styles, it's not going to be readily available for that plant to uptake. So no real comments on phosphorus, other than the fact that you can see here that, you know, you're only 64% of the way through at anthesis.
And phosphorus is just like corn and beans and wheat. I mean, just make sure you have enough for the soil microbiology, and make sure that you have enough for the plant as well. So I think on wheat, sometimes we get a little bit lax on our P and K, just because we kind of treat it a little bit like soybeans. Is we'll throw a little bit out there for crop removal, but there is a little bit of a natural load that has to be uptaken or is tied up, I guess, by the natural biology in the soil.
Right. So anything that you can do to make phosphorus more available later on in the season is going to definitely help.
Great. Wheat.
So whether that be a biological style product, or if you can, I don't know many foliars that would specifically target phosphorus, but anything that you can do to make that phosphorus the most available, you know, for that late May, early June timeframe is going to be very key for pushing yields and winter wheat that direction. Potassium is the next one. Basically 100% of your potassium has been taken up by anthesis. So potassium is one that, you know, you already see your leaves start dying. You see that potassium starting to go back into the soil very quickly. That's not really all that surprising. But there they are at 153.4 pounds per acre is what, and if you look at the Hefty's app, their numbers are real similar too for total uptake. And I would assume this is somewhere near 100 bushel per acre wheat. So we need to have at least that many pounds per acre in your soil test when we're running potassium. Sulfur and nitrogen are the interesting ones. When we're looking at these two side by side, what really surprised Wheat Pete, is what they call him, is that 50% of your nitrogen, which is different than corn, 50% of your nitrogen is actually taking up by the second node of that cycle. So it is critically important, more so in wheat than corn, to have enough nitrogen preloaded on your winter wheat to make sure that you're not starving that product from, you know, a lack of nitrogen is going to drop the number of tillers. A lack of nitrogen is going to cause that wheat stand not to set as big of heads, because all of that is happening early on in the very early portion of spring. So nitrogen they were surprised by these numbers that the uptake was as high as it was, as early as it was.
And how much was it?
For pounds wise, it's 185.7 pounds per acre.
Wow.
For approximately about 100 bushel per acre wheat crop. So you got some from the organic matter, but that's why, you know, a lot of these high yielding wheat producers are really pushing for a total of 120, 130 pounds of nitrogen, and then they're worrying about how many tillers they have per square foot or per square yard to make sure that standability is not going to be an issue, because you do need that much nitrogen to push a high yielding wheat crop.
I think it's another key to, like you said too, is having that front loaded, a little bit front loaded in the fall, to make sure that we're going to come into it with a little bit, and then getting out there as soon as green up happens to make sure that shot is taken in on what 70% there of your nitrogen needs before we get to flag leaf. And as we enter into these ultra earlies and these hyper early varieties, it seems like we go from green up to flag leaf pretty quick once the conditions arise. Now this year is just a little bit unique because we're getting a pretty good early spring or a very mild winter. But you know, there's times where we have struggled to get timely applications at green up, and then next thing you know, you're only what, 2 weeks, and it seems like flag leaf's right on our tails. So that's very interesting to be definitely cognitive of what your stage is and also what your nutrient application is looking like.
Right, and also from the nitrogen standpoint, 85% of the total nitrogen is taken up by anthesis or flowering. If we would look at what that correlates to corn, I think corn takes up approximately 40%, so they're in the mid-60s range after tassel time frame. It's the corn still needs late season applications of nitrogen can definitely benefit corn more so than on wheat. So if you're doing a split nitrogen application, you know, you're looking at something at green up, and then you're going to want something right before flag leaf, trying not to burn that down.
Yep.
sometime after that second node, in between second node and flag leaf, to make sure that nitrogen is readily available for the rest of the season. So nitrogen was interesting. Sulfur, when it comes to wheat, they are looking at max record uptake of 14.3 pounds per acre. Sulfur's a little bit more like corn in the aspect of the timing. 91% of your sulfur is taken up by anthesis, so we really do kind of want to heavy front load that sulfur as well. 72% is taken up by flag leaf. So if you're doing split applications of nitrogen, I would be looking at putting the majority of your sulfur, especially if you're not in super sandy soils, you're going to want the majority of the sulfur in your first nitrogen application. You're not going to want to wait till your second node flag leaf, because between second node and flag leaf, a lot of it's already uptaken at that point.
Great.
So it's good data. It's new data. We will put these links in the attachment. I couldn't find, obviously, because the paper is not completely published yet, I don't have the actuals. These are just screenshots off of the YouTube video, but we will have some of these pictures, obviously, for viewing purposes. And if you wanted to look more closely at how much of the sulfur, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are in the leaf, the stem versus the head, you can take a look at those two in the attachments on the link to the show. So I thought that was interesting.
That's real interesting. So we had some cold weather this week, Ben. What's your thoughts on damage to the wheat? Too early to tell.
I think that wheat has nine lives, as we all know. I think that we are early enough in the season. Green up, as we talked about last week, has happened because we are seeing about an inch of growth from the 10th to the 23rd or the 22nd of February when Dylan did that test that he did last week. I think this is pretty cosmetic at this point, but there are some differences. We have a wheat show plot here in West Point that has our entire range of all of our products that we have, and we don't normally have a wheat test plot, but I think it's definitely something to look at because we have four different hyper early options, one ultra early option, and two medium early options. And I have to go back and look, and I don't have the pictures yet, but maybe we can throw them up here if Dylan can get them for me. But if I had to take a guess, and what I observed last middle of this week was the Maddie and the Julie have less leaf burn on them than the ultra earlies do, because I think that the ultra earlies probably broke dormancy a few days ahead of where we were at, which causes more green new growth for the that 10 degree weather with some snow and rain to nip the wheat just a little bit. But heads are still completely the heads are still below the crown, where we're not going to have any issues from that standpoint, where we're actually going to be damaging yield at this point.
Yep.
For the most part, most of our viewing area didn't sustain a large growing degree unit days of below freezing temperatures. We kind of snapped back out of it pretty quickly.
One thing to note, though, is that with the mild February and the mild March that we are looking, from what I'm paying attention to on the forecasts, we're probably going to have a pretty mild March. Mm. We obviously had a very mild, warm February. With this probably 3 weeks earlier than normal green up, we are going to be at a little bit higher risk on certain ultra early varieties for frost damage, because it seems like Mother Nature always works in averages. So we're definitely going to need to be staging the wheat correctly. We're going to need to be keeping an eye on the wheat and keeping an eye on the forecast. But, you know, farmers are the eternal optimist. Agronomists in that same boat are the eternal optimist. You know, we can't not do the right things at the right time, worried about something that you may or may not happen in the future. So I would suggest guys get the nitrogen on if the fields are fit, and cross our fingers and hope we don't have a later than normal frost for the spring here in 2024.
Yeah, and long range forecasts that I've seen are still saying above normal temperatures from March, April, May, and June. So odds are that we're going to be okay, and we may have an early harvest then.
Right. Things are progressing along very, very quickly.
I think you're exactly right. The law of averages say that we we can't give up on a crop on the fear of something happening. We have, I mean, almost all the wheat that we've looked at looks absolutely phenomenal. So spend the money and do it right now, because hypothetically, if nothing happens, then yeah, we're looking at a phenomenal wheat production. And just in this Lee County area with our seed production and some of the stuff we have going on here around West Point. So,
yep, absolutely.
So we had some, again, that cold weather. We had some alfalfa that probably broke dormancy a little bit early too. The only caution I would say there is, don't get out and run around on that stuff when it's crunchy.
Right.
Because you can do damage at that stage. If it warms up during the day above freezing, then you're probably fine. But don't run around out there when it's crunchy.
Yep.
Absolutely. I think, Lynn, you have a potential announcement that we would be able to talk a little bit more about alfalfa next week.
Yeah. Next week, looking forward to having our America's Alfalfa rep, Mitch, on to talk a little bit about some of the new varieties and the options that we have through America's Alfalfa, some stuff that's coming down the pipeline, and then visiting a little bit about some springtime management for both seeding and then a little bit into, you know, the current crop on how you kind of manage some fertility, because alfalfa is one of those that we can manage a little bit, but when we look at talking about like P and K and the non-mobile nutrients, it gets a little bit more difficult after we've had an established crop, just because that stuff isn't very mobile, so it doesn't move through the soil very well. So looking forward to having him on to give us a little more insight. We are nearing with these temperatures alfalfa seeding season, so it's a good time to kind of get a refresher here for some of us who maybe seed alfalfa once every decade. It seems like that you kind of forget some of the old tricks and whatnot. So looking forward to having him on and giving us a little bit of insight of what's coming from the pipeline, a little bit of management, and looking at some of the new things and some of the stuff that they've uncovered. You know, alfalfa, we've talked about it before, some of the major players have gotten out of the alfalfa game and has become kind of a the funnel has gotten smaller, I guess, for lack of better terms. So we feel like we have aligned ourselves with the premier alfalfa breeders and supplier in the industry with America's Alfalfa through the Harv Extras, the traffic quality tested, Roundup Ready. I mean, the full conventional, the full gamut, their portfolio is extremely robust and provides us good quality alfalfa to our growers.
Yeah, alfalfa originated in Iran, Iraq, so you always remember it was kind of a desert plant. And, you know, it doesn't like wet. And, you know, it's amazing that we've adapted it to the soils over here. And, this would be very enlightening to have him come on and give us an update. Like you say, I always remember a local farmer, he was a dairy guy, he said, you could never pay too much for a bag of alfalfa if it's good. And that's because if you're producing milk or you're producing beef, it has a huge impact on how your animals perform.
Absolutely.
Turk, got some numbers today, don't you?
Yep, February's over, and 1st of March, we've got our crop insurance prices set, and they come in at $4.66 on corn and $11.55 on soybeans, and that's $1.25 lower on corn from last year and $2.20 lower on soybeans. So the big question is, have your inputs come down that amount to offset and at least be even with last year on profitability? So those are the numbers that everybody's got to be looking at right now. And would you say the, you know, if you figure 200 bushel corn, I guess you just look at your average. What was the average, Ben? You figured down 85%?
It'd be 361,
is that what you said?
391 is what I think I put, wrote down here. 466 corn. I'll have to do the math again on that one.
Yeah, you know, it's in that neighborhood, so. Everybody has to check with their crop insurance to see what if 85% looks like on their farm with their numbers.
Right.
So, but the crop insurance date's coming right up here. So, to have your crop insurance set up, I always thought it was really strange that we don't have our crop insurance price until the 1st of March, but then you have to have your crop insurance set within a couple, 3 weeks. And so, whether or not what you're going to do. So, but it is what it is.
That's right.
I did see on the internet, you know, social media, a few beans got planted here in that couple warm days we had. So we'll see how that all turns out. Personally, I don't know anybody that planted Mershman seeds, soybeans, but we'll see. But there's always somebody that likes to stir the neighborhood up.
I seen that and heard that there were some beans going on the ground in that warm weather.
So, and as far north as Minnesota, too. So, yep. Anyhow, interesting.
They'll get covered by snow and beans.
They'll be okay.
Fine.
Right. Anyhow, let's get to the corny jokes and wrap this program up today. I got three that hopefully will make you snicker a little bit. Why was the math book so sad? Why was the math book so sad? It had a lot of problems.
Okay. Yep.
Now, this one here kind of makes sense. When receiving payment in gold, pirates used to verify their purity by biting into them. Turns out Bitcoin goes back a very long way.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Now, this one here will relate to farmers because it's being talked about all the time. What's the difference between weather and climate? What's the difference between weather and climate? You can't weather a tree, but you can climb it.
There you go.
Thanks for watching today. We hope your family is healthy and safe. We'll see you next week. Take care.